Greetings in the name of the Lord. The purpose of this series of lessons is to study the prison epistles of Paul. I want to emphasize again that these lessons are taken from the Word of God itself. In the very beginning of our study, two lessons ago in fact, I emphasized the fact that the Bible is made up of many, many different books, but the entire Scriptures are the Word of God. Every part of the Bible is inspired and given by God through men. Even though men wrote, Moses, for instance, wrote the first five books of the Bible, and others wrote other parts of the Bible, but even though men were involved in the actual transcribing of these books, the books were given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Every word they wrote down was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They may have used their own style of writing. They may use their own way of punctuating and everything. But nevertheless, everything in the Word of God has come from God Himself. And I want to emphasize again that this is very important for us to understand and to believe and to regard as we study the Bible. If you in any way doubt that any part of the Bible is the Word of God, you're going to doubt the rest of the Bible itself. In other words, we do not have the right to cut out of the Bible what we don't like. We have no right to cut out of the Bible things that may disagree with our own views or what we want to believe. We are to believe only what God says, and we're to follow His Word. And not only that, but there is no other book besides the Bible that we can accept. Sometimes people knock on our doors, and they're offering us books that some of their leaders have written. We don't follow these books. We follow the Word of God itself, because these books are the books of men, and they come from Satan himself. In other words, Satan himself wants to undermine the Word of God, or to say that perhaps the Word of God is old-fashioned, it's not for today, we need something that is for today, and Satan will try to undermine in every way God's Word. And we don't permit this to happen. We follow only the Word of God. So from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, we follow the Word of God. We accept every part of it. We recognize that some things apply more to one age than to another age. This has to do with the law, for instance, that we're not under the law of Moses. But nevertheless, every part of the Bible is dear and precious to us. Now, the other thing that I emphasize, and I want to say this again as I begin today's study, and that is that it's important that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. In other words, this is the basis for reading and meditating on and understanding the Word of God. If you're not saved, if you have no relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're outside of His family altogether. You're not being taught by His Holy Spirit. Now, it does not make me better than yourselves. In other words, I'm just a human being just like yourself. But I thank the Lord that when I was 14 years of age, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and I came into saving relationship with Him. And now I have this relationship with God as my Heavenly Father. I have the Holy Spirit living in my life. And so the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the one who opens the Word of God for us, who illuminates our hearts. He no longer gives new portions to the Word of God, but He does illuminate our hearts to what God has given us. So I would urge you, if you have not yet trusted Jesus as your Savior, that in your hearts you would open your heart to Him and you would trust Him as your Savior. Now, in the first two lessons, we studied something about Paul's background, the background of the man who wrote these books, and the background of Rome itself. Why are these prison epistles? Why were they written from Rome? What is Paul's background in the Roman prison and so forth? So we took two lessons just to study some of the background for the writing of these books. Now today, I want to introduce to you the book of Ephesians. And it's very important that we understand several things about the Ephesian church and about the Ephesian situation. This will help us to understand the teaching of the book itself. Sometimes when we read a book, we don't really understand the background of the book. And some things are a little bit difficult for us to understand. This was true, for instance, when we studied the book of Corinthians, for instance, in 1 Corinthians, the fact that this was a cultural area, and these people were being tempted by pagan philosophies. In other words, Corinth was one of the centers of pagan philosophy, the philosophy of that day, Plato and Aristotle and others. And so these people were deeply affected by these pagan philosophies. And this helps us to understand, when we understand the background of a book like that, it helps us to understand why Paul had to write so strongly by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to convince these people that the wisdom of the world was nothing in the eyes of God. Now, first of all, what is the nature of the Ephesian situation? Ephesus was a very important city there on the Aegean Sea. It was the chief port and capital of the province of Asia. In New Testament times, it was a political, commercial, and religious center. Even though it was part of Asia, it was a very important place as far as the Romans were concerned. It was also a center of pagan worship, one of the main centers of that entire area of pagan worship. There in that city of Ephesus was the Temple of Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians, and in fact the goddess of the whole area. People throughout the entire area were worshiping this goddess named Diana. Now she has other names also, but this is the name given in the Bible itself, the goddess of Diana. And the Temple of Diana was there, and it was an important business in the city of Ephesus, and much of the persecution that Paul went through came from the followers of Diana. In other words, they were going to lose their business if people would become Christians. They wouldn't buy the idols anymore. And this was very important to these idol makers. And then, of course, the city of Ephesus attracted a lot of the Jews of the dispersion. I don't want to go into this deeply with you, but you remember that in the dispersion under the Babylonians and, of course, before that under the Assyrians, the Jews were scattered. And then, of course, under the Romans, the Jews were even more scattered. For a number of centuries, they had been under foreign rulers, beginning with the Assyrians and then the Babylonians and then the Syrians and then the Greeks and finally the Romans. They were under foreign rulers. They were still under foreign rulers in Paul's time. And so they were scattered. They were taken as prisoners to far cities. Many of them never did return. Even after they were able to return, and even during Paul's time, they could come and go freely. They were no longer forced to stay in a foreign city. They were no longer slaves of the Romans. But nevertheless, many of them chose to stay in business and to do other things in the cities where they had been taken. And these are called the Jews of the dispersion. In other words, they were dispersed throughout the Roman Empire. And so in Paul's time, Ephesus was one of these cities where great numbers of Jews had settled. There were perhaps several different synagogues there. When Paul first went to Ephesus, he ministered in the synagogues. And there were Jews there. They'd been taken captive, of course, but then they had chosen to stay there. And these Jews would listen to Paul's teaching. So when Paul was in Ephesus, he was witnessing both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And then when the church was formed, it's going to be formed as a combination of Jews and Gentiles in one church. Now, I want to emphasize this as we come into the study of the book, especially in Ephesians chapter 2, that this combination of Jews and Gentiles in one church, and I speak respectfully of both, I speak respectfully of the Jews and the Gentiles, but it was a very difficult union of two different groups of people in one church, because their cultures were so entirely different. Their beliefs were so entirely different in their background. But now they're one in Christ, and God expected them to be part of the same church, fellowshipping together, worshiping together, going forward in the Lord together, and accepting each other. But in every book that you study, in fact, in most of the books you study of the epistles of Paul, apart from the pastoral epistles, there were problems between them. We find this in Romans, we find it in Corinthians, we're going to find it in Thessalonians, we're going to find it in these prison epistles. There were problems between them, problems of understanding, problems of accepting each other. And so we find that there were many, many Jewish people there, and among the converts were many of these Jewish people. We also look in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 38. It also seems that there were a number of different churches established in the area of Ephesus. I think most of them probably established by Paul. In other words, when Paul spoke to the elders from Miletus, in the city of Miletus, rather, the elders from Ephesus who came up to him, these elders seemed to be pastors of different churches. In other words, it was not just one great, large, huge church in the city of Ephesus, but it was a number of smaller churches. And this seems to have been the pattern in every city where Paul went. Originally, in the very beginning, he started, of course, one church. But then this church would start branch churches. And this is true wherever God's work has been done. I know this in the Philippines. I know it in Hong Kong, where my wife and I have ministered for many years. And this pattern is followed everywhere, that churches start branch churches, those churches become independent churches, and then they themselves branch out and establish other churches. So there seem to have been a number of different churches in that area. Now let me just say a few things about the founding of this church, and then I won't go on and on with this. Let me just say a few things about the founding of this church. I mentioned before that on his second missionary journey, he had wanted to continue and expand his ministry in Asia, but God called him to Europe instead. In other words, if Paul had not gone up into Europe, if he had not gone to Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica and down to Athens and down to Corinth and spent probably at least a year and a half in those areas, then probably Paul would have gone from northern Asia down into the southern part of Ephesus and the other parts of southern Asia. But he was delayed in going there. So at the end of his second missionary journey, Paul had only a very brief period of time to spend in Ephesus. But on his third missionary journey, the Apostle Paul now, accompanied originally by Priscilla and Aquila, the Apostle Paul now spends a great deal of time, more than 2 years he spent, in fact 2.5 years he spent in the city of Ephesus. And during this time, under great persecution, he does a major work in this city. First of all, he went to the local synagogue. It was Paul's practice, even though he was called as the Apostle to the Gentiles. We read this in Galatians chapters 1 and 2. But even though he was called as the Apostle to the Gentiles, it was his practice to spend time, first of all, trying to reach his Jewish brothers and sisters. He has a great burden for these. You read the burden of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, for instance, where he says that he would have been willing, of course this is impossible, but he would have been willing to give up his own salvation if his Jewish brothers and sisters could be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. So his practice was to go into the local synagogues and to witness first to the Jews. And then when they would reject the truth, then the Apostle Paul would go to the Gentiles themselves. He would leave the synagogue and he would go into the Gentile world. And so in Ephesus, the same thing was true. 3 months in the synagogue, and then about 2 years or more, he ministered in the school of Tyrannus. This is mentioned in Acts chapter 19. And this work was very effective. This work of evangelizing was very effective. The Gentiles in that city were hungry for the gospel. And I want to be fair, many of the Jews had also believed. It was true that many rejected the truth, and many opposed him and tried to persecute him. But many of the Jews did believe, and they became part of the later church that was established. But his major work here was among the Gentiles. And among these Gentiles, it says that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of God, both Jews and Greeks, in Acts 19:10. Now, some believe that during this period of time, all of the seven churches, now Paul himself didn't reach all of them, but his evangelists did, all of the seven churches dealt with in Revelations chapter 2 and 3 were reached. This would be Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. They were either founded by Paul or his associates, perhaps during this very period of time, between about 54 AD and 56 AD. Paul wrote these books. Now, Paul had also planned to leave Ephesus and return to Macedonia, but he stayed in Asia instead for a season. And then, of course, he had strong opposition in Ephesus, and there was still the establishment of strong churches there. So we thank the Lord that even under great persecution and great opposition, the Apostle Paul had great success in the work of the Lord. And in this work, the Apostle Paul is blessed by God in the preaching of the gospel. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I want to close this particular lesson with these words. Even though we give out the gospel, we ourselves cannot pierce the hearts of people. It's the Holy Spirit working through us that pierces the hearts of the people. Whenever you study the life of Paul, whenever you study his ministry in places like Ephesus or Philippi or wherever it might be, there might be opposition, but the Spirit of God is still piercing the hearts of some people and bringing them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we can depend upon the Spirit today. We don't honor or glorify ourselves, but we depend upon the Spirit of God to work through any ministry we have. So this is some of the background. In the next lesson, I do want to continue this background of the Ephesus church, because it's important for us to understand this background as we get into the text itself. And then we'll introduce the text of the book of Ephesians. So study with me. And may the Lord bless you as you look into the Word of God itself, and as you find from the Word of God the truth that God wants you to understand. May the Lord bless you, each one.